If you have your Bibles this morning, turn to Psalms 23. Again, Psalms 23. Say it again. If you don't have your Bible, go find your Bible and come back and sit down. Psalms 23. Starting there in verse number 1. Read the whole chapter. It's only 6 verses. We're going to study more in verse number 3 today, and I hope it'll be a help to you. Psalms 23, it says in verse number 1, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." I appreciate you listening in again this morning on Sunday. Again, it's a little different than normal, but nonetheless, I'm glad we're able to at least join together this way, if nothing else. And we're both in many different ways this morning, so I'm going to try my best not to stick my foot in my mouth, although I'm very good at that. I'm trying to do that this morning on videos everywhere. But I'm glad we have this technology to be able to at least have some sort of church. 10 years ago, if something like this happened, we'd be on our own. So I'm glad we at least have the ability to use this. I'm hoping it all works this morning. But that being said, I'm glad we can all be here together. Told somebody yesterday, I'm glad we can do this, but it's just not quite the same preaching to a camera. So anyway, we're back in Psalms 23 today. I hope we can be back together normally again pretty soon. But back in Psalms 23, I keep thinking and trying to find something elsewhere to go along with our current events. We keep wanting to preach a message on our current events, what's going on. But every time I study a little more in Psalms 23, it always relates to what we need at that time. And I believe it's the same way with this morning. I believe the Lord had this all timed out in his will and his way to preach this today. I hope it's a help to you and blessing to you. We've covered up into the middle of verse number 3 already. We'll be finishing out verse number 3 today. Verse 4, we'll get that next week, but go ahead and mention something special. Something changes in verse number 4. We'll notice the first three verses of Psalms 23, you see the pronoun he maketh me, he leadeth me, he restoreth, he leadeth me. In verse number 4, something changes. Like the sheep, and David here, it's like the sheep turns, he's talking to one sheep, then he turns and he's talking directly to the shepherd. The sheep turns and he's talking to the shepherd. He says, "For thou art with me," in verse number 4, "thy rod and thy staff, thou preparest, thou anointest." There's something special about it. There's a point to that. It's not there for accident. He's talking, the sheep is talking directly to the shepherd. I thought it was kind of funny this past week. I probably shouldn't say this on video, but I'm going to anyway. The Pope put out a statement about and told everybody, told the Catholic Church, because of the coronavirus, if you were not able to make it to confession, you could just confess your sins to God and he would hear you. You don't say. We've been trying to tell him that for centuries now. That's what we've been trying to tell him. Anyway, again, getting ahead of myself here. I also probably get myself in trouble because of that. But anyway, back to what we're studying now. We have covered verse number 1. The Lord is my shepherd. We talked about those shepherds, and we talked how great it really is that he chose to be our shepherd. He chose to be a shepherd. We talked about how the shepherd's life is a lonely life and a lowly life and a loving life. And what an honor that Lord chose to be my shepherd. David said, "The Lord is my shepherd. He chose to be my shepherd." He didn't have to be. He chose to be. We talked about how he chose to be a shepherd only because we're sheep. There's no purpose in being a shepherd except for the sheep. And I'm glad he did that for me and you. We talked about how great that is. Talked about what an honor and how he is enough. He says, "I shall not want," verse number 1. The Lord is enough. The shepherd is enough. He covers it all. He's all we ever need. We talked about that peace that he can give in the face of no peace at all. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. We talked about how much it takes for a sheep to lie down. We talked about his green pastures. We talked about trusting the shepherd in his green pastures. That was not what we would imagine. How he must be trusted. He had to trust the shepherd. He leadeth me beside the still water. We talked about that morning dew and how the sheep can make it through the drought so they can make it through a drought if they'll just meet with the shepherd in the morning time to get some dew. How important that is. And last week we looked at the first part of verse number 3. He restoreth my soul. We talked about how important that is and how he picks us up after we have fallen. We talked about being cast down, how David was cast down, but the Lord was willing to go find him and pick him up and let the blood start doing its work again and to restore him again. I'm thankful we have a long-suffering shepherd who is willing to continually go find me and restore me and pick me up and put me back in the work again when I've been cast down. Today, I want to focus on the rest of verse number 3. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. It seems pretty simple, But I believe there's more to that than meets the eye. I can't take the credit for this. I wish I could. But I'm actually Brother Jonathan. He's been here at the church with us here in the past few months. A couple Sundays ago, he talked to me after service, said he hasn't been around sheep much in his life, but he has hunted the Dall sheep up in the mountains. He's telling me about those sheep and how they walk the same path around the mountains over and over again. You could look across the mountain and see the path that the sheep had rutted out in the mountain. You could see where they've been, see where they're going, see where they have been over and over again. You can see those paths that are rutted out walking up the cliffs. Sheep, also wild sheep, Dall sheep, as well as shepherded sheep, are very routine animals. They walk the same path. They eat the same plants every day. They like routines. They will follow the same route around a mountain every single day and eat the same grass until the path has become a ditch and all the roots of the grass are gone. One said the sheep will often even paw the ground and eat the roots out of the ground because the grass won't ever grow again. This leaves the fields in danger of erosion and ruin just from the path of the sheep walking the same path, eating the same grass day after day after day. Just like those Dall sheep, since they have no shepherd, they're left to do whatever they want. That's why their paths become rutted out up through the mountains. They're animals of routine and do it over and over again. Also, because they're walking the same path, they will make a mess of things. And they're a wild animal. They will not only eat the grass, but they'll leave stuff behind, leave manure and different parasites behind. And next day they'll come back through and eat that same grass that they dirtied up the day before, eat the same thing again, causing all sorts of parasites and health problems for these animals that become sick just from following the same path and the same trouble over and over again every day. The job of a shepherd is to manage these sheep to prevent this from ever happening. A diligent shepherd will move his flock from pasture to pasture and continually rotate the sheep to prevent the damage of the pasture land, prevent them from hurting themselves, prevent them from eating and ruining the land. Sometimes a shepherd have to move his flock every week. Sometimes the shepherd moves his flock daily. It depends on the sheep and depends on the amount of sheep and the size of the pasture. Often in the summertime, while the shepherd is out in the fields and the mountains with his sheep, he'll create a base camp. Then every day he'll go out and take his sheep to a different area of the mountains every single day and bring it back to the base camp. Always a different pasture every single day to take care of the sheep and also protect the land. To do all this, the shepherd must have a plan. A careful, thought out, a wise plan that only the shepherd knows about. The sheep don't know anything about. The sheep are just following the shepherd, but the shepherd has a plan the entire time. One shepherd said that the sheep and pasture management required more of his time than any other part of shepherding. The planning where to put the sheep and how to put them there and how to corral them, keep them in. He said he was daily checking on the fields and checking on the sheep to see if they were both okay or if they needed to be moved around to different fields. For a shepherd to successfully put this plan into action, a shepherd must know his pasture land. A good shepherd knows not only sheep, but a good shepherd knows the land. He knows where the sheep are going to graze. He knows the dips and he knows the peaks. He knows where the sheep will have the most trouble. He knows where the sheep will have the most rest. The shepherd knows the pasture, and he makes a plan for his sheep in the pasture land. I'm amazed every time I study a new phrase here in this chapter and read more about sheep. It's no coincidence that God chose to call us sheep. It's almost embarrassing when you realize how much we really are like a bunch of old, stubborn, dumb sheep. It really is embarrassing. Every one of us love to follow our own path. We like to go where we want to go. We like to do what we want to do. We like routines. We like doing the same thing most of the time. We go and we eat the same thing most of the time. My kids like doing the same thing every day. If we mix it up, they tell us they want to go back home again. We tried to go for a ride the other day, and they were asking us to go back home. They've been at home all week long. They like routine. We're the same way. We eat the same thing. I've been here almost a year now. I believe I can probably count on one hand, maybe two, maybe, the number of times I have not eaten at Papa's Pete's on Sunday afternoon. We do the same thing week after week after week. We are creatures of habit. Isaiah 53:6 says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." We turned everyone to his own way. We like sheep, we like to go our own way. There's a phrase I've heard a few times in the past few months. New things come out, tell your truth and speak your truth, believe your truth. I'm about sick of hearing that. There is no your truth and my truth and their truth. There is one truth and many opinions, one truth, one true path to follow, and we like to go on our own way. Proverbs 14:12 says, There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. The Bible has the truth. The Bible has the way we should go. The way which seemeth right unto a man speaks about ends in the ways of death. Just because we're sheep doesn't mean we get to follow whatever path we choose. God has a plan for us. He is a good shepherd. He has a plan. He's planned this thing out. He knows where the good pasture land is. He has a plan for this. He knows the pasture. John 14:6 says, Jesus said to them, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He is the way. He has the plan. He knows the pasture. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Can I pull over right here quick and say this? Don't get mad at me. This coronavirus, COVID-19, this did not surprise God. God did not wake up a few weeks ago and say, oh no, the United States is getting sick. What am I going to do about it? He didn't wake up and say, oh no, what am I going to do? The Prince of Wales on. I don't want them to get sick. That did not surprise God. He knows the pasture. He knows what's going to happen. I'm tired of seeing Christians worrying themselves literally to death over this sickness that's going around. Yes, we ought to take precaution. God's in control, but he also gives us common sense to take precautions. I'm not denying that. God is sovereign, but he also gives us the ability to make mistakes. So yes, take precautions. I don't reuse needles. Somebody said, saw someone say that day, I don't reuse needles. He gives us wisdom. I don't eat rotten food out of the trash can. I don't want to do that. I make my kids wear life jackets on the boat. I buckle up on the airplane. We can take precautions. That being said, if you are saved this morning, quit wringing your hands, worried to death over this thing. God's in control. The shepherd knows the pasture. We don't have to fret and worry if everything's going to be okay. Oh, I don't know, preacher. I don't see how this thing's going to turn out okay. Oh, I don't know. I don't see how this thing's going to work out. This thing is really bad. I've heard that over and over again. This thing is really bad. I don't know if God can really bring us through this or not. That's what you're saying when you say that. I've never seen anything like this before. I don't know if God can handle this. Somebody say, well, I would never say that. Maybe not. But a lot of us are acting like it. This is going to be okay. You say that this morning. You repeat after me. This is going to be okay. The good shepherd knows the sheep. And the good shepherd knows the pasture. And the good shepherd has a plan of how we're going to get through this pasture. Don't question the shepherd. I understand taking precautions. I'm taking precautions. I'm washing my hands more than I ever have before. I'm not touching doorknobs. Try not to. Put my jacket over it, touch doorknobs. I'm not shaking people's hands. I'm trying not to stand too close to people. I'm avoiding going to busy places as much as possible. I do that anyway. We're going to have a normal service this morning. Obviously, we're taking precautions. I understand that. But I can promise you, I don't want to be sick. I don't want my family to be sick. The last thing I want is my kids to get sick. That being said, you don't see me worried to death about what tomorrow may hold. I don't worry myself to sleep at night. I've been sleeping fine. I've put it in the Lord's hands. I know it's going to be okay. I have peace about it. You'd be wise to do the same thing this morning. I'm telling you, this world is looking for some peace right now. They're looking for someone with answers. And they're looking for somebody with peace. We may not have all the answers for them, but I know who does. But we can have the peace that they're looking for. What kind of testimony are you showing the world when you're worried to death about what's going on? Talking about how terrible it is, talking about how scared you are. What kind of testimony is that? People want peace. Show it to them. Share it with them. I can promise you it opened doors for you right now that you wouldn't believe. It already has for me. If people see you at peace, they'll want to know how you got the peace. They want to know how to get it from themselves. I'm not making this up. I'm telling you, first-hand experiences this past week, I had somebody ask me about how I can have peace about this thing right now. I got to tell them how good God is, and I got to tell them how it's all going to be okay now, even though I don't know what tomorrow holds, and I could be sick tomorrow, I don't know, but I know who holds tomorrow, and I'm trusting him to handle it. I'm trusting the shepherd. It's not quite where I was trying to go with this message this morning, but I feel like I need to say that. You can trust the shepherd. He knows the sheep. He knows the pasture. He knows what's going to come up tomorrow. This did not surprise him. Put it in his hands. Back to Psalms 23 again. See, the shepherd, he has a plan. See, the shepherd knows the pasture. The problem is most of us old stubborn sheep refuse to follow him through the pasture. We are stubborn. We're self-willed, proud, persistent sheep that want to go nowhere, only want to go where we want to go. Our flesh does not want to follow the Lord. And even after you get saved, your flesh is not going to want to follow the Lord. It's never going to want to do it. You're going to have to make it do it. There are many sheep today. They're going down the same path they've been down 1,000 times before. Even here in our town, they work and work and work, get to the weekend, and they drink and drink and drink. And come Monday, they work and work and work, and they go back and forth over and over again the same path. Doesn't have to be drinking. There's many different things. And does nothing but causes heartache and confusion. And those sheep are going to end up ruining their pasture, their life, walking the same dangerous path over and over and over again. End up wasting away along the pasture of their own. You know what the Lord says about that? This is Mark 8:34. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. It's going to take some sacrifice. It's going to take some discipline to learn to willingly follow the shepherd. But I can promise you, once he leads you through a few pastures, once you get through a few valleys with the shepherd, it becomes easier and easier to trust him. Once you experience a few of those new green pastures he brings you into, and you realize he knows where he's going, it'll come easier and easier to trust him and follow him. The sad truth of the matter is very few Christians literally follow the path of righteousness. We would like to say that we do. We would claim that we do. But when it really gets down to it, we have a hard time trusting him. We smart our chest and we say that we are led of the Lord. We sing songs about it. We sing, I surrender all, and very few people actually mean that. Have you ever truly surrendered all to him? Have you ever given it to him? Jesus never promised giving your life to him, following him would, every step of the way would be easy. He never told us it would. He never promised flat, lush pasture land. We talked about those green pastures. Those green pastures are not what we would think they'd be. They're rocky with very few sprouts of grass here, and they got to trust the shepherd. He just promised. The only thing he promised is that he would lead. I'm getting ahead of myself again, but there are some of those valleys of the shadow of death we'll read about later on that we'll have to walk through. But he promised we walk through them, not drop us off in the middle of them. He will lead if you'll follow. Are you willing to forsake all and follow him? These paths of righteousness, that phrase path of righteousness, literally means a track or a path of right, of doing right. It also says for his name's sake. Well, what does that mean? It means exactly what it says. We're to follow him down the path of right just to glorify him for his name's sake. A flock of sheep that are willingly following the shepherd, they are healthy, they are cared for, the pastures are unharmed, and their pastures are growing with grass. And what does that do to you? If you saw that, you wouldn't say, look at how good those sheep are at being sheep. You would say, look at that shepherd. He's a good shepherd. He's a wise shepherd. If you see sheep at peace, you don't pat the sheep on the back. You pat the shepherd on the back. He leads down the path of righteousness for his name's sake, not ours. We are to follow the good shepherd, not to please ourselves, not to make ourselves look good. We are to follow him and do his will to bring him honor for his name's sake. Again, I told you like at the beginning of this thing, it's all about him. He's there in the beginning, the first verse. He's there at the end and the last verse. He's in every verse in between. It's all about him. I don't preach here so I can get my name up in lights. I don't want to be on YouTube this morning to get my name up some lights. I want to give him the glory. I want him to get the glory for it. It's all about the shepherd. It's all about him. If we really believe that this morning, if we're really going to let him lead us in the path of righteousness we're going to follow, I believe there'll be a few things we have to get settled before we can ever do that. It's going to go real quick here. Just a few different points I'm going to bring out to you, a few different verses. Number one, if we're going to follow him, he's going to lead us in the path of righteousness, but if we're going to follow him in the path of righteousness, we're going to have to learn to love him more. If we're going to really follow him, we're going to have to learn to love him and others more than we love ourselves. That's easy to say, but hard to follow. You say, what does that mean? 1 John 3:16 says, hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. I've preached this before relating to the husband and the wives. This doesn't mean to lay your life down and die for others. It's not only what it means, it can mean that. There are many people who are willing to be a hero. In the moment, a lot of men will run out in the traffic and save somebody, save the damsel in distress. They run to a burning building and save somebody else. I know a lot of men that would do that, firemen, different ones. That's not what this verse means, not what I believe it means. This means to lay aside your will for the will of others. Lay down your life to live for somebody else. Don't lay down your life just to die for them. Lay down to live for them. I have to be honest here. I struggle with this myself. Not so much in large crowds, but just me and my family. If I get something on my mind that I want to do, you can ask Natalie about it, whatever that is, fishing camp, whatever it is, I can't get it. I have a lot of trouble getting that out of my head. I have this thing planned, and I want that to happen no matter what everybody else wants to do. That's what I want to do, and I have a hard time getting around that. A lot of us are the same way with the Lord. I know for a fact that some of you in the church are like that too, just like I am. Once you get an idea in your head, it's hard to give it up in order to follow the Lord or follow somebody else or give in to your will to give somebody else's will. 1 John says we ought to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. Not only lay them down heroically, but lay them down daily to serve others. Lay down our will to pick up somebody else's will. Are you willing to love the Lord more? Are you willing to change your plans in order to follow his plans? Are you willing to be the lead, willing to follow in the path of righteousness for his name's sake? We have to learn to love the Lord more than we love ourselves. We have to learn that it's okay to be different from the crowd. We're going to be willing to be different from the crowd. Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. If you're going to follow the shepherd, sooner or later, you're going to stand out from the crowd. If the shepherd goes this way and the flock goes this way, you're going to have to pick which direction you're going to go. Most people don't like doing that. Everyone wants to fit in and be normal and be popular. That's human nature to do that. But the book of Titus tells us we are to be a peculiar people, a different kind of people. We ought to stand out from the crowd. Are we willing to be different from the crowd? Are we willing to be different than the rest of the flock? Are we willing to stand out on the job place? Are we willing to be the weirdo Christian you hear many times? It's okay to be different. The Bible says we ought to be. If you're going to follow the path of righteousness, sooner or later you're going to have to go a different direction than everybody else is going. You're going to have to be different. I remember when I quit my job in North Carolina to move up here, some were excited for us, and some thought I'd literally lost my mind. I remember one guy in particular telling me I was crazy, leaving a good, steady job with a lot of future potential to move to a place like Alaska to pastor a church, to the world, to the rest of the sheep. I was probably crazy. That was the path of righteousness, the path of right, the good shepherd had us going down. Sometimes you got to stand out from the crowd, make some hard decisions, make some different choices than everybody else. You have to be willing to be different. You get not only different, you have to be willing to deny myself. Luke 9:23, it's basically the same verse read in Mark earlier. Luke 9:23 says, and he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Are you willing to deny yourself? Are you willing to take second place? This is not easy. It is not normal. It's natural to try to be the top dog, try to be on the top, get the top ram, top sheep, to get your own opinion above the others. We talked about that budding order a few services ago. It's natural to want to be the one on top, the one in the charge. Are you willing to pocket your pride and take a back seat and follow somebody else, follow him? I know a lot of people, if they have an opinion, and they usually do have an opinion, but if they have an opinion, and everybody else needs to hear it, and it's the right one, whether you believe it or not, because they think their opinion is always right. Well, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's not. If you're going to follow in the path of righteousness, you have to be willing to deny yourself, learn to follow the shepherd, learn to follow in line with the rest of the flock. Are you willing to put aside your desire to be the top sheep? Be willing to follow. I read this phrase there from a shepherd. He said, when the desire for self-assertion, self-pleasing gives way to desire for simply pleasing God and others, much of the fret and strain is drained away from daily living. And I have to agree wholeheartedly. If we would quit trying to be on top, if we would learn just to follow the shepherd and quit trying to make our opinions up, if we learn to just follow him and what he says to do, we wouldn't have near the stress and worry that we have in our daily life. We learn to just trust the shepherd, like I mentioned a few minutes ago. Learn to just trust him, quit worrying about everything else that can go wrong. Just trust him. Be a whole lot less stress you got to deal with. A whole lot more peace the sheep can have if they will just trust the shepherd. A whole lot more peace in the flock if they'll just follow the shepherd. If you're going to follow the path of righteousness for his name's sake, you got to learn to deny yourself and follow him. Next, we're going to have to learn to accept his plan. Proverbs 3:5-6 says, trust the Lord with all thine heart and lead not into thine own understanding. And all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Are you willing to trust his plan? Often circumstances come into our life, sickness or disease or coronavirus, or we all want to answer that. Why does this happen? We all want to answer for it. Why is this going on? Why did you let this happen, Lord? Why is this going on? We all want to answer. And then when good things come, like our jobs or our finances, we like to pat ourselves on the back and get the glory for it. If you're going to be led in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake, we have to learn to just accept his plan. When good things come, we ought to thank him and give him glory. When the bad things come, we ought to thank him and give him the glory. I understand that's easy to say and hard to do. I've been on both ends of that thing. Can I tell you something? He's the same shepherd no matter the circumstance. He's still the good shepherd. He's a good shepherd in the good times. He's a good shepherd in the hard times. He's present in the good times. He's present in the hard times. He's caring in the good times. He's caring in the hard times. He's my shepherd in the good times. He's my shepherd in the hard times. What about you this morning? What did I say earlier? The shepherd knows the pasture. Are you willing to trust him? Trust his plan. Follow his plan. Are you willing to follow him through those valleys that we're going to see in the next verse? Are you willing to trust him? Trust his plan. Accept his plan. To follow his path. Are you willing to be obedient? To do what he says to do. To go where he says to go. To say what he says to say. Are you willing to be obedient? He leadeth me in the paths righteous for his name's sake. Are you willing to obey him? Are you willing to follow him in those paths, even when you can't see the gate? Maybe you, when you can see past the gate, and you don't like what's on the other side. When the Lord was dealing with me about preaching, calling me to preach, I could see what was through that gate, and I didn't want anything to do with it. I tried for 2 to 3 months to try to get away from it and ignore it. I just wanted it to go away. I did not want to go through that gate. I didn't want that green pasture. I remember watching the movie Sheffy with my mom during that time. It goes through the calling, if it's calling to preach. And I was so under conviction, I had to get up and walk away. I don't think I ever told her that before. I had to get up and walk away from the movie and walk away because I was under such conviction. But I, at that time, refused to walk through the gate. Eventually, I got tired of fighting and pulling away from the shepherd. I finally gave up and haven't felt that way since. He's always guided. If my spirit has been, if I've had everything right between me and him, he's never failed to give me a message to preach. He's always faithful. If we'll just be willing to follow his every step, he'll be there to lead for the next step. If you'll just follow him, are you willing to follow him this morning? The Lord told you to drop everything, go move somewhere else, be a missionary across the world. Would you be willing to do it? Would you be willing to follow? And you say, well, that's extreme, preacher. I know. If the Lord told you to witness to your coworker, would you be willing to do that? It's pretty simple. We struggle with that. Are you willing to follow the shepherd? The question is not whether he will lead or not. He will lead. The scripture tells us that. He will lead. The question is, are we willing to follow? He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Are you willing to follow for his name's sake? Deny yourself and follow him. Give up the glory and give it to him. A lot of pride keeps us from following the Lord. A lot of pride gets the sheep in trouble. When the sheep think they can handle more than they can handle, that's when they end up falling and getting hurt and in trouble. Are you willing to follow the shepherd? What about it, church? Are you following him in the path of righteousness? I don't know what all is going to come out of this virus. I don't know how much longer it's going to be hanging around. I don't know. But I do know that he knows. And I believe he can work, and he can use this time for our good and for the good of our community. Maybe to make us appreciate church more. I know I have learned to appreciate people coming to church more. Maybe it's to teach us not to take things for granted, take each other for granted. Maybe it's to open the eyes of the lost, they might come to know him. I don't know what the plan is, but I know he's in control. Do you trust him this morning? Are you willing to follow him this morning? Maybe some of you listening don't normally attend church. Maybe you've never been saved this morning. Maybe it's the Lord trying to lead you in the path of righteousness. Are you willing to follow this morning? Hope is a help to you. I know it's simple. Simple to say, but hard to follow through with. But I hope it's a blessing to you, and I hope you get some encouragement out of it. Let's pray.